Okay, we're beginning a new Torah. A new Torah in the Oris HaKadosh, Chochmas HaKadosh, Simen Hei. HaKriya L'Soidius. It was sent out, so for those who don't have the Sefer, we should be able to get it on the phone. HaKriya L'Soidius. Now, everybody knows that the word sod means a secret. Sod means a secret. HaKriya L'Soidius means the call for a life of sodius, of secrecy. What does that mean? HaKriya L'Soidius. These titles were not given by Rav Kook, they were given by the Nazir. But the titles are important. Rav Kook is not just talking about here, we're going to see about learning Sod. It's not just a matter of learning Pnimius HaTorah, but defining one's life completely as a life of Sodius, of living in that place of Sod, in that world of Sod. HaKriya L'Soidius. Let's see what this means. We'll try, again, everything that we learn, I'm saying each time, every time we begin a new Torah, whatever we're learning, with all my efforts to explain is only a Hash'ara Ba'al Mamamish, and it's very hard, and his Rav Kook's thoughts and his language are very, very, very difficult. So we're trying together to learn to understand. First, as always, we'll try just a simple pshat, if you say such a thing, just learn the pshat to try to translate, to understand, just to touch the words. And then we'll try to go a little bit more into it as we go along over the next week or two. Hey, it's a page Ayin Tes. In this... Kshemegi ha'ish ha'yachid. V'chein hador, when the individual person and the generation reaches la'oisa ha'masav shehofa also haruchanis kva kruahi lefu'ulasa. When the person is ready, when the generation is ready, in other words, each one of us has talents, each one of us has kaiches, each and every one of us has a lot of or inside, but it takes time for the person, the individual, to be ready for the haifas or for that light to appear, to materialize in his practical day-to-day life. The koiches, the iris of a person, take time. It takes time until the hofa'ah, the appearance of that or of the person is now ready. And it's not only like that with the individual. But Rav Kook is saying that every generation, the generation itself, has a certain koyach, a certain or. Each generation, we've spoken about this many, many times, every generation is different. Different koyaches, different midas, the Gaon talks about that. And the other tzaddikim explain this, the Lesha, many of the tzaddikim explain this, the Ramchal, and Adi B'Morim. Every dar has has a particular midah, a particular kayach, that is waiting to emerge, that is waiting to be expressed. So Rav Kook is saying, "Shemegi ha'isha yochid v'chen ador lo'isa amasev shahofa oso haruchanis kva krui hilipul osa." When the time has come, where the person has reached the point, and the generation has reached a point, where that spiritual, potential is kva krui hilipul osa, it's already being summoned and called upon, nu, to come into the world, to appear in reality, not just as potential. You know, you go to parents teachers meeting and when the teacher says, you know, your kids got a lot of potential. You say, I just happened to wander in here. My kid actually graduated 40 years ago, and he still has a lot of potential. So it's kva kruhi lipulasa. It's time already for the light of this person to shine in the world. For the light of this generation to appear in reality. When that happens, when the time has come, as ef shalolios masbia es simono heachrechi. When the time has come, it's no longer possible for that person to satisfy, or the generation to be satisfied, to quench that unbearable thirst and longing, with some sort of a teichen, with some material, or some teichen, some content, that is mugbal, that's limited. In other words, this individual of the generation is exploding with aura, with light, with talent, and is filled with a tremendous thirst, a longing to bring that light into the world. But all you're offering the individual, the generation, is tochen mugbal. It's a very limited program, a very limited stage upon which to act, a very constricted curriculum. Can you imagine you have somebody that has the most unbelievable, just an example, a silly marshal, somebody has the most unbelievable musical talent. It's a going in music. Mom is like bursting with musical talent and is ready to go. And you say, okay, here's your harmonica. Harmonica. This is somebody who's ready to bring to the world like original compositions, the most beautiful music that was ever produced. And you're not giving him the kalim. It's a teichen mugbal. Not that there's anything wrong with the harmonica, just whatever. Well, like with the old accordions, I don't know if you remember those. That was our music class in yeshiva. This guy's like a Mozart, he's a Beethoven, you know, he's like a musical genius. And he needs tochen murchav. Like I need kalim in this world through which I can express this karch that I have, this talent that I have, and you're giving me a whistle or a harmonica? What am I supposed to do with this? That's exactly what's happening to our kids in yeshiva. Not, I don't mean everywhere, but that's what's happening in yeshiva. That's what's happening in school. That's what's happening with the generation. There's infinite potential and ready to go, ready to come into the world, a tremendous yearning, a longing, a thirst for self-expression, to bring forth this light that I have, that the generation has, and the kalim that's being offered is what Rav Kook calls teichen mugbal, 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 very limited, very limited. Teichen Mugbal. Like, you know, I don't know if they're true, but they say about how Einstein wasn't a particularly great student. Because you stick Einstein into a regular math class, it's not going to go. So Teichen Mugbal. Here's a Jew that had a mind, that had a gewaldige mind, and you're putting him into a class, it's a Teichen Mugbal, and it's, if anything, it's a miracle that he wasn't completely ruined by the Teichen Mugbal, the circumstances of his life, both at home, who know a little bit about his background, and in school. So you take a giant, I'm just giving you a marshal from secular knowledge. You take a giant and you put him into like a little box, a little corner. And that giant suffocates, is crushed by the smallness of the environment that he's in. There is this simono hehechrachi, that there is this thirst that is muchrach, that it, because there's so much or, there must be this thirst. There is this tremendous longing, and you're trying to satisfy this simaon, this thirst. B'chol toichen mugbal. With toichen, with material that's very mugbal, that's very limited. It might not be mugbal for somebody else. That toichen could be tremendous for someone else. It might be too much for someone else. It could have been gewaldig for another generation. Well, is that mimer in a sefer that worked for our parents, and it was something which for the generation before us was exciting and quenched the thirst for that generation, and the next generation, it's mugbal. It's mugbal. So the easiest thing is to look at the kids of Tav Shin Pei, the kids of our generation, to say, nah, they're not good. They're not good. The kids of Tav Shin Pei are not like we used to be. Their grandparents, everybody was good. Everybody studied. Everybody behaved. And now the generation is mishigi. It's wild. And they're doing all kinds of bad things. But those who are a little bit in the world of Sodius, of the secrets of Torah, know that it's not that the children of Tav Shin Pei are chas v'chalila limited. It's just the opposite. The or of the children of the last generation, this light of Tohu that's trying to be contained in Kalim, that are mugbalim, in Kalim that are very, very constricted and very limited, and you're giving them the same stuff that was given to our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and you're expecting this to satisfy the thirst of our generation. So because of that, Rav Kook explains, as we learned in our Satshuva, and he writes in many places, because of that we have the chutzpah of the end of time. What's the chutzpah? Chutzpah means I want something more, and you're only giving me a little. It comes out in the very mechutzavdik way. The same way that in the Midbar they wanted to run in Eretz Yisrael. The Ma'apilim, they were great people. Our generation is a generation that's filled with so much light, and the last generation, this has always been through time, the last generation just tightens up this generation as being unruly and chutzpahdik and unteachable. Not that they don't want to keep Torah mitzvahs. It's just the opposite. There's so much ur, there's so much light, and the time has come for the appearance of this light of the end of time of Mashiach. The teachers don't know what to do. The rebbeim don't know what to do. They're giving a certain tochen mugbal. Not all of them, saying whatever it is, 98.6%. Give a tochen mugbal, and then they don't understand how come these kids are not thriving. The kid's screaming for more. He's screaming for something much greater, much higher. He's got an ur that's much bigger. And and it's not possible to contain it within that Teich Mugbal, and the way that this comes out is as chutzpah. Comes out as chutzpah. Who are you? I don't need you. I'm a chutzofen. What do you have to offer me? And the teachers are just like shaking their heads, and the rebbeim are shaking their heads, like, I don't know, like, what's the matter with these people? What's the matter with these kids? They're terrible. Their mom is terrible. You're not quenching their thirst. They're thirsty. And then at some point when they meet up, when they're able to be exposed to teuchen, to the content of Yiddishkeit that is not mugbal, that is unlimited, that's infinite, these rebellious kids become the biggest tzaddikim, the biggest tzadkanis. So what do we do? So Rav Kook says, "Im lo ye oisa atoichen ba'atzma." We must give material to this person, to this generation. We must give toichen, content. We must give toichen that's moiso esel toichen rochav chavshi, the kind of toichen, the kind of material to work with that allows for the expansiveness, for the free expansiveness of their soul to find expression for this light that is much, much greater, more powerful than the light of this particular parent or this particular teacher or of the generation that was before. And this teichen that is murchav, that is expanded, that we must give to the generation and the individual that's ready, it must be shabo yargish es hasiguv hagadol shebesharish netias neshmas mimkara chayim shelo. It must be the kind of teichen that when the individual of the generation learns it, experiences it, is able to feel the siguv hagadol, the exaltedness, in the root of the inclination of his soul, of her soul, of the soul of the generation, to see one's greatness through this tochen, to see the greatness instead of saying you're nothing, you're worthless. Davke, the tochen that helps the individual and the generation to recognize hasiguv hagadol. From the source of its life, the great exaltedness of the soul that comes from the source of its existence, to speak to that. Many times over the years I've mentioned to you the Torah from the Koshin Samagit, Shusin Elayna. The Koshin Samagit says on the Pasuk, Hazinu Shamayim Vadaber Vesishmaris Imeifi. He says, Hazinu Hashemayim. He says, when you're speaking to another Jew, you're trying to teach a student, Hazinu Hashemayim. Speak to the soul of that generation. Speak to the soul of the child. Hazinu Hashemayim. Speak to the highest part of that person. Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera. And then Mimela, if you speak to the highest part of that person, if you speak to the soul of that person, of that generation, then the result of that will be v'sish maharetz imrifi, that the individual, the generation will listen, and v'sish maharetz means even the body, the guf, then the guf will listen. The guf will listen, the body will listen when you speak to the neshama. But if you speak only to the guf, then the guf knows how to answer back. If you speak to the guf of a person, Then the guf, no, you're talking the lashon of the guf. I have my own. My guf has its own inyanim, and I don't agree with you. My guf doesn't go along with what your guf is telling my guf. You have your guf, I have my guf. Who says your guf is better than my guf? Meaning, your limited, constricted version of God is no better than mine. But when you speak, the Kosher Magid is saying, but if you speak to the neshama of a person, in other words, if you speak to the highest part of that person, to the deepest part of that person, Hazino Shamai, if the guf hears the language of greatness, then the guf is impressed. And then, Vesish Maharitz Imefi, then the body, will go along. You put on tefillin and keep Shabbos. The body will go along. But if the Yiddishkeit that you're giving this Jew is body, it's the same stuff. It doesn't reach the neshama, doesn't touch the neshama, is not speaking to the shamayim part of the person, then the earth rebels. The earth doesn't buy it. The earth says, what makes you better than me? So some kid, Tavshin Pei, goes, you know, and he's right now this is going on as we speak in the yeshivas all over, where there's some Rebbe, with the sweetest Rebbe, the best intentions, is saying, and the answer to the Yetzer Hara, the only way to defeat the Yetzer Hara is by coming to Mishma Thursday night and staying till 11 o'clock at Mishma. And that will defeat the Yetzer Hara. And the kids are saying this, no, it doesn't. I've done it, it doesn't work. That's because you're not learning enough Be'iyun. And if you learn more Be'iyun, so then the Yetzirah, you would defeat the Yetzirah. And the kids are thinking, it's like, you defeat the Yetzirah all the time. Not that the Torah doesn't have the ability to overcome the Yetzirah. Of course it does. The Torah is the Tavlin. But even if that Rebbe, that wonderful Rebbe, even if the Torah that, let's say, does help him overcome the Yetzirah, maybe, kulei hai, halavai, I'm not so sure, but let's say with this Rebbe it does. That doesn't mean that it's working for that kid or for that class. So that's the language of the guf. All the kid hears is, you want me to stay in school till 11 o'clock. I hate school. I wish I didn't have to go at all. And the Rebbe doesn't understand, but it says beferish in the Sichas Musav, and it says beferish in this sefer and that sefer that the Torah is the. And what's the matter with you? It's because you have such a big yetzar, you can't hear my shmuz. It's because you don't understand. You're not really connecting to the Torah. And if you would connect properly to what I'm saying to you, then you also would overcome the yetzar, and you'd be able to be a Rebbe and to destroy also thousands of kids like I've done. You know, the kid doesn't hear it. I hate school. I don't want to come. In 15 minutes, you could change that kid. You could turn the kid around. 15 minutes. Not 15 days, not 15 weeks, not the whole semester. 15 minutes. Learn with him this Torah from Kosher Tzemach. Learn with him a few sentences from Ari Zakaidish. Give him Teichen that's Murchav, that speaks to the expansiveness of who he is in Tav Shin Pei, not to the constricted, you know, 1961. That mahalach that was before, that's not now, for whatever reason, I'm not going into it now. I'm not talking about Yehudis Adaris, godless, katnas, that's not important. That's not important for now. It's difficult because this teacher is being called upon to give the kid something that he doesn't have. And that's scary for the teacher. And how would I feel if I got a call that tomorrow I'm substituting for some professor, I'm teaching physics in Columbia. I'd be very afraid, and I'd probably go to the class because I have no choice for whatever reason, and I'm standing up there in this lecture hall, and I'm supposed to be teaching my physics, so I'd probably talk about, you know, something with the chama and the levana, something in chassidus, you know. And that's what I'm familiar with. I'd say something, you know, I could say over something in halacha or a gemara, I could talk to them about something that's. But they came to study physics, not to hear a shmooze, you know, on the light of the sun and the moon is receiving the light of the sun. They're sitting there with their laptops and their notes, and they're waiting to hear physics because they have to take their exams and they want to go on with this subject. They want to be big physicists, and the teacher's standing up there talking about chassidus or something. So how does that work? It doesn't work anywhere in the world. And by us, it continues on and on and on. On and on and on. It's an amazing thing. On and on and on. The fact that it doesn't work, that it's not doing it for them. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. And if it's not working, it's because they have a problem, or because their parents are not really b'nei Torah. The father goes to work; he doesn't stay in Carlo. That's why it's not working. Whatever the explanations are, or because of the generation, or because of the internet, all the explanations. But you understand, it's scary for a teacher to get up and be asked. And there's something great about this child, and I don't have the teichen to give the child. So then what happens? What happens if the teacher doesn't have the teichen to give this child? So he could teach up the child as being the kid is a problem. He's not behaving, he's coming in out of the class, he's not interested. I don't understand, I was always such a successful teacher, and now these kids are not interested in what I'm saying, they have a problem, you gave me a bad class, and so on. So if Cook is saying, Shubo yargish es hasigav ha-godol shebesherish nitiyas nishmoso, the teichen that you're giving the generation or the person or the student has to be one where the child, the generation feels, oh, now you're speaking to the Shemayim part of me. My Shemayim. Hazino Shemayim. You're talking to that part of me. That's great. And that part's the Sheresh Netiyas Neshmos Mekor HaChayim Shalom. You're speaking to that part of me that comes from God. Not the part of me that's uninterested, that's tired. Not the part of me that couldn't care less. You're speaking to something inside of me that's... I hear this. I hear this. How is it that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came to the world and woke up the Jewish people? How did the Baal Shem Tov do that? How did one man do such a thing? And then the Mishnah Shemagid and the Tzadikim, what happened? How did they do that? Because they spoke to the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. And the Neshama of Klal Yisrael is Ani Yishen Bad V'Libi Er, is awake and ready to explode, to burst into the world. And the Baal Shem Tov spoke to that part of us. Rabbi Shimon, the Ari HaKadosh, they spoke to that part of us. And then all over, Jews are waking up. And don't think the Rabbanim weren't upset about that. The old school was very upset about that. How come it doesn't work? It's something wrong with the people because they're behemoths, they're chayis, they're no good, they're rishoyim, they're shkotzim, they're apikorsim. That's why they're not hearing our Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov comes up and he says, my holy brothers and sisters. And he begins to talk. He tells stories. And the whole world is going meshuggah. So the Baal Shem Tov went, the Baal Shem Tov was a better teacher. He was a better teacher. He had a better technique of giving over Torah. They weren't great teachers at that time, but the Baal Shem Tov was a better teacher. And the Teretz is, the Baal Shem Tov spoke to the Shemayim part of the Jewish people. And when you speak to the Shemayim part of the Jewish people, v'sishma ha'aris, then they want to put on tefillin, they want to go to shul, they want to eat kosher, they want to keep Shabbos, they want to do the right thing. Because then the goof is blown away by the neshama. Then the goof is mamish, mamish, is set on fire by the neshama. Yehuda, do me a favor. On my desk, there's a sefer. I think I left it. I think I have it there. It says Nahare Eish. You see a big red sefer. I'll read you something from Reb Shimla. You know that you heard of the Yeshiva Chachma Lublin, right? Chachma Lublin, Meir Shapira. So the Mashgiach, the Mashpia there was Reb Shimon Zelichover. They call him Reb Shimla. Reb Shimla was a Jew. You don't see it? Oh, sorry. Reb Shimla was a Jew that on his fingertips, Kol HaTorah Kula, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Zoya, Shulchan Aruch, everything by heart, like we know Ashrei, like that, backwards and forwards, Reb Shimla, Zelichov. It was a shame dover in Europe before the Milchama. So he had Torah. It would be enough to probably fill at least one Svarmishrank of this room if the Nazis didn't come. That's the Torah that he had. Shuvas, Rambam, and the Zohar Kodesh, Sarishu. And Torah Mamish, unbelievable. But only a tiny little bit was able to be salvaged. And it's called Nahare Eish. Now, you can get it. It was out of print for a few years. I think it's back in print. Rivers of Fire. Now you like it's a nice title. Nahare Eish. I guess you can't find it. I thought I left it. Oh, it's in. No, I thought I left it. Might be by the photostat machine. So there was a machlokes against Reb Shimla. There was big machlokes. Not only, I'm not talking about from the Misnagdim. Lublin was not a place where they had to worry about Misnagdim, you understand? Lublin was a Chassidish city. Yeah, the Misnagdim were nervous, not the Chassidim. But even among the Chassidim, sorry for the scavenger hunt. Thank you, Shkai. So Reb Shimla was considered to be a controversial figure because he was giving over Chassidus and Pnimas HaTorah like unplugged, without the normal Gedarim. He was saying over Mamish the deepest Torahs. And there was the same way that it was against the Baal Tanya back then, even among the Chassidim, against Rabbi Nachman back then, and Reb Nosson. So by Reb Shimla, even though they all had tremendous Derech Eretz for his greatness in Torah, and he was at Tzadik Yisod Erlam, but he made people nervous. The guys in Chachma Lublin were Meshuggah for him. He had like a whole Chassidus going on over there in Chachma Lublin. It's an interesting story. There's no biography that I know of Reb Shimla. There are little bits and pieces here and there. He was an Ish Sod Mamish, a mysterious person. How he lived and how he died, who his Rebbe was, his two Rebbeim, he was an amazing person. So we have a little bit, a tiny little bit. So in Likutei Diburim, in the Hare Eish, Eish Lamed Hei, he says, Shuvah Ashelas Rabim. So Reb Shimla said, okay, I'm going to write an answer. I know a lot of people are asking. Madua Eino Medaber B'Mamorav, it was written over by Talmud. Madua Eino Medaber B'Mamorav Medvarim Hashchichim, come on, here is Medbatol Udvarim B'Talim. How come the question that everybody was asking Reb Shimla is, why aren't you talking about the same things that everybody else is talking about? Which are Dvarim Shchichim, for instance, Zihirus Min Batala. What does it mean, Zihirus Min Batala? You're not learning enough. Right? Exactly what I was saying before. You're not learning enough. Or Dvarim Batalim, or you're Isaac in Irishkeit. Now, why aren't you giving the same talks that all the other rabbis are giving? Zihirus Min Lashon Hara. An anti Lashon Hara talk, that's a regular talk, right? Anti Lashon Hara. All the things are very important. Vas mod bli mit atayr. Va amo huzal. Rab Shimla said this. Listen to these words. Ha ikker hu, the ikker is lena take es halev shel adam min chumris ve gashmis olam hazeh. The ikker is to tear the heart of a human being away from the gashmius of this world. Afilu rak borak levad min dvarim gevoyim, one flash of lightning from the hidden light of Torah, one flash of lightning from min dvarim gevoyim, from something which is great and exalted, toichen, which is murchav. Merachek es alev min chefzei anoyishim, distances the heart from chefzei anoyishim, from the interests and desires of human beings. Yoyisem ibiur rochav bedvar mapshutim hanedoyim, more than pages and pages and pages and shmuzen and mamorim of things that are pshutim nedoyim, that are simple, that everybody already knows and heard 1,000 times. And then he says, Reb Shimla says, Ach ve'ach, he's awesome b'sher shekedusha. Once a Jew is on fire because he's holding on to something that the neshama is hearing, b'sher shekedusha. Hala yilmudu la'atzma m'zehirus m'dvarim sh'adim dash b'akov. He'll be careful with muktzah and with Shabbos, and he'll learn. He'll be careful with the other stuff. Ayin b'las v'n ho'ich en yonim. Nem dem mensch avekt from the welt. One blessed, he says. Von hoiche in yonim. Hoiche. Higher things. Hoiche in yonim. Nem dem mensch avekt from the welt. Pulls the person avekt from the welt. Out of the world. Out of this sick world. Mehr wie ein ganzer Havana mit Dvarim Pshutim, more than a ganzer Havana, a whole long explanation of Dvarim Pshutim, of simple things that they already know and heard a million times. And he says, well, Kiyum Divrei Torah, Bepoil, Ksum Besvarim Kedosh, Bekal Mishra Reza Luma. If you want to know about Mukta or anything else, it's written out, everybody saw it, it's all there. You can learn it, go learn it. But why aren't they interested in learning those things? Why are we losing the Chavra? So Reb Shimla is saying, this is not a new thing. And he was controversial. Boy, he had a misnagdim. What was going on with him? They didn't know what to do with him because he knew more than everybody. They didn't know what to do with him. Because they couldn't argue with him in a Rambam. They couldn't argue with him in something. He knew everything. Ein blask von hoiche in yonim. Nehmt dem menscha weg von der Welt. Even if you don't speak Yiddish, right? Ein blask, one blessed of what of Shemayim. Hoiche in yonim, nehmt dem menscha weg von der Welt. Pulls the person weg from the world, out of the world. And then Mimela, everything that he's supposed to do, Mimela. Of course, it has to be in the right way, the seichel, b'chulu. Now he's not going into that here, but he says, Shuval Shelas Rabbi. He says many people are wondering about me. That's, and he was answered. I'll tell you why. This little word from Shimla is as relevant or more relevant now than when he said this back in whatever it was, 1936, even more now. That's exactly what Rav Kook is talking about. Shabayagish es a sieg of a god of shabashuris and the tears nishmas and mekar chayim shalom. Talk to the neshama. And then Rav Kook says it right out openly, and he had plenty of misnagdim also. He had lots of misnagdim. Even there are even those among the students who are trying to hide this part of Rav Kook, who are trying to make believe that this wasn't Rav Kook, even though he says it thousands of times. They tried to edit, to change, to reinterpret, all kinds of things. Even the Talmidim of his own Talmidim. He says, Mitach kach, Rozei Olam, the secrets of the world, Rozei Torah, the secrets of Torah, Soid Hashem, the secret of Hashem, Holchim v'nisboim min hador, are ever increasingly being demanded of the generation. There's a demand for the secrets of the world, for the secrets of Torah, for the secret of Hashem. people, not people, the leaders. He says, Akshanus, there's a stubbornness. So I said before that a lot of the stubbornness comes simply from ignorance. You tell somebody all of a sudden, if he's teaching, or he's leading the Jews, he's leading Jews for 40, 50 years, you tell him, no, you have to come up with something new. He's not familiar with it. So he just goes on with the same thing. Rav Kook says, Hakshanus, this stubbornness, Hakshanus, Hagaremis Limtsa Bitsad Hagoli, that is causing this Hakshanus, Hagaremis Limtsa Bitsad Hagoli, as Kol Hasipuka Ruchani, that's trying to find all spiritual satisfaction in just the revealed aspect of Torah. And they go on saying, it did it for me. All I learned was Gemara, all I learned was, you know, Halacha. To say that you're going to, this stubbornness that claims that you could find all spiritual satisfaction in the revealed part of Torah, he medaldelas es hakoach. Medaldelas, how do you translate medaldelas? Dildel means when something is being cut off, it's dangling, it's eroding. Yeah? Menachem? Dildel,
cutting off.
It's eroding. It's causing the deterioration. The cutting away. Dildel means when something is dangling and it's cut off. Himadaldelas is akach. It erodes the strength. Mifazeres is haruchos and disperses the ruchos. As everybody goes looking for something else. They're not getting it in Torah, like we learned from the Pisats. They said we spoke about this 1,000 times. So I'm not getting this in Yiddishkeit. I'll go find it someplace else. In other words, I'll find my soul somewhere else. In relationships, in movies, in some other religion. And it drags this longing, this stormy longing of the soul to some place where in the end the neshama of a Jew will only find emptiness and bewilderment of the soul, not satisfaction. Because the Jew can't. Like the Medrash says in Kehelas, v'nefesh lo temaleh, like the Bas Melech, like the city, the guy from the town, the city that marries the princess. So no matter how many good things he brings to his new wife, the princess, she's not impressed, she's not satisfied because she comes from the palace. So if you're bringing this person, the language of the guf, the world of the guf, but the person comes from the world of the neshama, then you're bringing, it's like you're taking the guy that comes from, this guy's from the city, and you're trying to have this relationship work out with the princess who comes from the palace. As Chazal say, that the soul is not filled by that. The soul is not filled. Shlomo says that in Koheles. And Chazal say, even if you bring Kol Madani Olam, in other words, the Rebbe doesn't say, he's bringing the most gishmak elomdis. And the kid's still rolling his eyes. And he said, I can't believe it. I just told you over something from Reb Shimon. I told you over something from Reb Chaim. You know what that did for me when I 50 years ago? It made me into a Jew. And the kid's saying this as well. It's making me into a guy. Not that Torah is not beautiful Torah. Not that that's not magnificent, the Torah. Reb Chaim Reb Shimon is magnificent. And he'll come to it eventually to appreciate the magnificence of that Torah. It is magnificent. Every word of Torah, every Rashi, every Ramban, every word of Torah is beautiful. Achas kama v'kama. All Torah is beautiful. But right now, you're not speaking to the neshama of this person, of this kid. And as a result of that, he's going to look for his neshama. He's going to try to satisfy his neshama with something else. Because the city dweller, this plain guy, married a princess, And he's trying to impress her. And he brings her like she's this princess, a gewaltige, you know, sophisticated, beautiful princess. And the best he could do is, like, you know, he has like a picture of Elvis Presley that was, you know, autographed by, you know, by Elvis Presley. Brings it, and this princess says, like, that's my wedding present. He says, it's Elvis. You know, it doesn't get better than that. That's what's happening in our generation. Mamish. Except it's much more dangerous, because when you use Torah in such a way, it's much more dangerous. Elvis did it for me. How come this Tosis is not doing it for you? It's dangerous. And whenever this language of, whenever Rav Kook, you see why they snag this to Reb Shimla, and they snag this to Rav Kook, and they snag this to any person that is talking about this, is a snag this of an older generation, teachers who are desperately clinging to their positions, desperately trying to hold on to the only information that they're familiar with. And I understand that. But the result is, we're losing everybody. Not everybody, we're losing a lot. We're losing a lot. As I said, 15 minutes, you could turn the whole thing around. Doesn't have, it's not a whole malach. 15 minutes. Do one piece of Nesiv Shalom, one piece of Kedusha's life, one piece of Nefesh HaChaim. I'm not saying Dav Chassidish, one piece of Nefesh HaChaim, one piece of Madregas Adam from the Nevardike B'Oimek, with the Mesikas, to speak to the Neshama. Speak to the Neshama. So the problem is that the teacher says, I don't speak that language. Then get a different job. But don't kill my kid. Get a different job. You don't speak the language of Tav Shin Pei, then do something else. I don't know anything else. It's not a bit. It's a problem. We don't want you to suffer. We don't want your family to suffer. But, you know, got to get you something else to do. Because my child is dying. And you're speaking the language that you know. That's like the famous thing that happened. I told it to you years ago. I'm sure if you read it, you know about it. Einstein, since I mentioned Einstein before, Einstein had an Eluyisha Talmud. One of his biggest Talmudim was a Professor Eddington. Sir, he was already knighted. He was a Choshev, a genius. You can imagine, he was a big Talmud from Einstein. And it happened that this Eddington was also a frum person. He was a religious guy, very religious person. This is what I read once. And he was asked to give a lecture in some very, very Choshev university. Like something about the mysteries of the universe, something like that, along those lines. And Eddington began with a mashal. He said that there was a person who had something valuable, whatever, let's say a diamond ring, whatever it is. And he lost it. He lost his diamond. And he's standing there by the street corner, under the street lamp, looking all over there for this diamond. And a nice person, a good Samaritan, walks by and says, "Can I help you? You lost something?" He said, "Yes, I lost the diamond ring." So the good Samaritan says, "Oh, you lost it over here?" He says, no, I didn't lose it over here. Actually, I was playing with my kids in the backyard, and it fell off in the backyard. And I live around 20 miles from here." So then, why are you looking? So the guy asked, the good Samaritan asked, "So why are you looking over here?" She says, "Because over here is the only street lamp in town. So I'm looking over here." That's what Eddington said. You want the mysteries of the universe? You're looking under the street lamp? You need to answer it with your formulas. And Eddington said, "It's to be found in the Creator and God Himself." That's what he said. And he walked away. This is what I remember. It might be different, but this is what I read in the book. He said, "Soyd Hashem. Soyd Hashem." So the terrace is, I have one street lamp in town. This is what I learned when I was in school, when I was in yeshiva, right? And no matter what, since that's the only street lamp I have, that's the only place I know where to look. So I'm going to go on, just over here, by the street lamp. the rest of my life. And not only that, but I bring in many, many hundreds and thousands of students that they under the street lamp. Because that's the street, that's the only light that you know in your life. But what they're missing is someplace else. It's not under your street lamp. What's lost to them, and they want back, every Jew wants it back, it's not under your street lamp. Give it up. Admit. Surrender. Acknowledge that the light that you're, the light that you have is not where they're going to find that which is missing in their lives. And there are some that do that, and it requires tremendous, tremendous humility. Tremendous humility to be able to say that what I have now is not, this light that I have is not going to do it for those people, for those kids. It's not. So I need to find, tell me how, what can I do? How can I help? What can I do? That requires tremendous, tremendous humility. And that's Rav Kook, as we'll learn in the rest of this story, Rav Kook is calling upon the leaders of the generation, let go. Give it up. It's not working. You see that it's not working. How long are you going to go dragging around that street lamp, schlepping everybody under your street lamp? It's not working. That's not where they lost the diamond. And that's not where they're going to find it. They'll find it. Soyed Hashem. Rosei Olam. Rosei Torah. Soyed Hashem. That's where the neshama is found. And that's the only place you could find it. Now, people did it other ways, different times. Say them, huh? That's where you're going to find it now. Hashem spoke should help us to not give up looking. Shams.